The title of the message is God's Presence. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to Exodus chapter 33 today. Exodus chapter 33. Several years ago, Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. How many of you read The Purpose-Driven Life? Thank you. If you didn't, that's fine. Doesn't mean you don't have purpose by any means. But one of the focus of that book of The Purpose-Driven Life was he was saying, why are we here? There's a purpose for us being here. And what have we communicated about that purpose in our life? Many corporations have mission statements or mission purposes. I remember when I worked at Hardee's, I had to memorize a mission statement, and I even got $2 because I memorized that mission statement while I was a worker at Hardee's. They wanted me to make sure I knew what the mission was. I forget now. I think it was to sell hamburgers. Maybe sell a good biscuit and gravy. I'm not stuck on statements or purposes. I'm really not. However, I do think we need some direction at times. And I think that even if you don't have a purpose statement, though some of you might, you may have done that where you've said, this is what my purpose in life is. Even though if you don't have that, you can accomplish things. However, sometimes if we have a purpose, then we know where we're going. I was thinking about why we exist as a church, First Wesleyan Church, a number of years ago. And because of that, I was thinking, what should be our focus? And so because of that, I came up with three things that I think are why we exist as First Wesleyan Church. They are printed on the front of your bulletin every week. You probably glance past it if you are a regular attender and you probably don't even think about it. Maybe you do. But I'm going to be spending the next 3 weeks talking about the threefold purpose of First Wesleyan Church. We're going to be out of John for a couple of weeks, and here they are. We desire to sense God's presence every time we meet. Secondly, we desire to be a church of prayer. And thirdly, we desire to have an outreach into the community. There are several things that we do as a church that not everybody's going to do. For instance, a couple of weeks ago, several ladies joined in this sanctuary and had a ladies' tea. Now, I don't know that there's many men at the ladies' tea. Men aren't going to come to a ladies' tea. Well, there might be some, but not many. There are some ladies who are not going to go to a men's night at the Rush Hockey. They really don't care about Rush Hockey, but men get excited about that. There are some of you that if you showed up at youth ministry, you would get hurt. And we don't want to pay for you to go to the hospital because how you try to play in a game and you'd get hurt in youth ministry. However, our youth are very important. And not all of you are going to be participating in Awana. However, not everybody is involved in every ministry, whatever happens, we desire to sense God's presence every time we meet. You have been prayed for this morning that you would sense God's presence. Actually, I would tell you this. You've been prayed for not just for this building, but you've been prayed for the parking lot. You've been prayed even as you turn off of that road that there would be a sense of anticipation that you would have of coming into God's presence. We desire to sense God's presence every time we meet. We pray for this. And I know we can't see God, but I hope we never get in the place that Jacob was in Genesis chapter 28, verse 16, and he said this, Surely the Lord's presence was here, and I was unaware. We never want to be in a place where we're like, oh, what just happened there? But we be in a place where we sense God's presence. Moses was chatting with the Lord in Exodus chapter 33. He's asking the Lord for help, for leading. And then he's saying, who's going to help me? And let's see what God's response is. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to be in Exodus chapter 33. If you didn't bring a Bible with you today, there's one in the chair rack in front of you. We're going to read from verses 12 to 23, the end of the chapter. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. If you're an underliner, you might want to underline that verse. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show you mercy on whom I show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back. My face shall not be seen. First thing I want you to see is this. God's presence will go with us. When I think of godly men in the Bible, I think of guys like Joseph and Moses and Daniel and Paul. Our text today talks to us about Moses. It was said of Moses in Numbers 12, verse 7. This is what it says of Moses. Not with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. It's quite a comment. Could that be said of you? You are faithful in all of God's house. Is that you? Even though Moses was faithful, Moses wanted God's presence, and surely we should. Today, here, tomorrow, on your deathbed, whenever it might come, God's presence is for you. God's presence goes with us. Thus, God's presence is here today because God's presence is with you. What a promise. Some of us in this room go into some very interesting places. I won't ask for a show of hands, but you know this. You go into places that there is darkness. Have you ever been in that place where you felt a dark presence? And when you walked into it, you just felt it. If you remember that time, or if you walk there every day, you know the dark presence is there, and you know how it makes you a little anxious, a little full of anxieties. You go to that place because you're like, that's not a good place. If I go there, that's not well. The hair stands up on the back of your neck. You get nervous. You just sense that. Or hear me in this. Have you ever been with a person that you have just seen as evil? And you've been in their presence, and you're like, this person is just an evil person. He is just bad. She is just bad. When you're in their presence, you feel that. But I believe that because God is the ruler of the earth, that when his presence is here, we can know it, and we can believe in it. In verse 14, this is what the scripture says. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. When God's presence is in your presence, you have rest. Number two, if God's presence is not with us, what do we have? If God's presence is not with us, what do we have? I think of that. I think of God's presence not being with us. If we came to church on a Sunday morning and God's presence was not here, this would be stale. You'd stop coming. You'd be like, why am I coming to church? Really? As I've mentioned recently, Jesus' name is just a breath or a word away. What if God's presence is not with us? Woe to us. Pity to us. And yet think of this for a moment. If you have a neighbor, a coworker, or a friend that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, do you understand that God's presence is not with them? They go through life without God's presence in their life. There's unrest in their soul because why? That's what God says. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And so if God's presence is not with them, there's unrest. Do you know why it's so hard to get the person you have invited to church to come to church? Do you know why it's so hard? Because the enemy knows that God's presence is here, and he knows that if they truly turn to him, they won't be bound up anymore, and he wants them to be bound up. Thus, he discourages, comes up with excuses, but you keep persevering. If they come, they're going to sense God's presence here. Now, I tell you, if you bring a friend to church someday, you're going to be nervous about how they... I hope Pastor Steve doesn't hit him on the shoulder because that's a sore shoulder. We don't sure hope they don't do that. And you might even call me. Now, my friend's coming with me today. Please don't hit him on the shoulder because the shoulder hurts. And you get concerned about, well, I hope Pastor Steve doesn't say anything that would make them be offended. Don't worry about that because God's presence, when God's presence is here, is going to overwhelm someone. It could overwhelm you today. Do you know one way that we can sense God's presence? To the person sitting next to you. The Bible says this, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Each of us in this room represent the Godhead, and you bring the light of the world with you. Isn't that very cool? What if we don't sense his presence? What if you're sitting here this morning and it's like, you know, those songs were fine, but really they're, you know. Why do we sing a hymn, It Is Well With My Soul? I mean, that's like so ancient. Why do we do that? And then those other songs, I didn't even understand the words. It was kind of blah. That sermon this morning, nice message, but you know, really, Pastor Steve, you didn't do a very good job this morning. The prayer time, you know, Pastor Glenn is fine, but really, come on. Give me something. Or maybe you were distracted, or maybe you have kids here, or maybe there's a kid in the sanctuary that distracts you, and you're like, glad I went to church. Wasn't that wonderful? Maybe there's a couple of things going on. Maybe there's not enough prayer covering going on for our church. Maybe you didn't come early and help pray with some who gathered and prayed. Maybe the enemy distracted you. Maybe you weren't ready for the service. Maybe you didn't come with the right attitude. I would ask for a show of hands, but I don't want to do that this morning. If how many of you came with a bad attitude this morning, so you had to come? Or you came with not a, I'm ready to hear what the Lord has for me. Or I'm bringing in God's presence with me, so I need to have that attitude. Maybe the leaders weren't prepared and ready spiritually. It can happen. Truth of the matter is, sometimes you just come to service and it's just blah. How many of you like fried chicken? After a while, if you had fried chicken every meal, some of you would be like, I could have fried chicken every day and that'd be really good. But after a while, it would just get blah. True statement. But after a week of having peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch, but then you know on Saturday you're going to get a nice, juicy, I like dark meat myself, a nice, juicy thigh of the chicken. That's the best part in my mind, not the breast. It's a little too dry for me. You might have a different opinion. That's fine. You can have the breast and have the white meat, or maybe you like the chicken leg. How many of you are chicken leg type people? Yeah, give me a chicken leg. When you bite into that, there's something savory. They're just like, wow. Now, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are very good. I like strawberry jelly. Some of you like grape. That's fine. But when you get that fried chicken in your mouth, there's something that just like, whoa, wakes you up, doesn't it? There are some Sundays that you come, and it's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I can give you a bunch of different reasons. Maybe you have some stale bread. Maybe you have the day-old bread. Maybe you have the bread that has mold on it. I don't know. Maybe you have peanut butter. It's not all that good. But then there's that meal that you get. Do you stop eating ever? No. None of you have stopped eating, I think, have you? No. Everybody continues to eat. Why? Because we want that nourishment. And when you come to God's presence, sometimes it's really a lot of flavor. And other times, it's nourishing to your soul, even when you're not aware of it. I want everyone here to know of God's presence. I thought about bringing a fog machine in with me today, and I did not do that. I didn't come up with one. But I desire God's presence to be so thick, it's like a fog, that when you come in through these doors of this place that's called a sanctuary, a place that's set apart, that you would just be like, there's an aura here. It's interesting, some of you, don't worry about this, but there's some of you that would be like, you better take your hat off when you come in the church. Some of us don't worry about that, but there's that setting apart that God's presence is here. One of the things we've been able to enjoy in the last several days in Rapid City, South Dakota, is fog. I've driven in fog this last week, and when you drive in fog, what happens? Your senses are a little more here instead of here and here. I hope, anyway. I hope you're not doing this and, oh, this fog, no big deal. And no, your senses are here. And I pray that God's presence is so thick, it's like a fog, that your senses are so acute and so aware that you become aware of all that's going on. May we be a church that knows that we are surrounded by His presence. And great news, His presence just doesn't have to be here. Christ goes with us. But I liken church as I do our vehicles. Whether it be electric or gas, I think many of them are gas vehicles. But what happens when we have a breakdown in our vehicle? It's not a good day. Costs money. We got to go pay for it. Disrupts our schedule. But we got to get it fixed. Why? Because we got to get back on the road. And we do that. Sometimes we have that with regards to our lives spiritually. We break down somewhere along the way. So we take care of that. Because why? We need to get back in the game of life. Little less, though, is that we need gas. Every week you need gas. I'm thankful for $2.10 a gallon, aren't you? Versus $2.85 a gallon. Pity on us, and this is not true of many of you, but pity on us if the gas station attendant knows us by name better than the people that we go to church with. What was one of the ways that Moses was shown that he was present with God? If you look in Exodus chapter 34, a little bit later than what I read, you will see that in verses 2 to 7, Moses is called to the mountain. And what happens in the mountain? There's a cloud that envelopes the mountain. And then what happens from there? What is given as a sign for Moses to say, my presence will go with you? The sign is mentioned in verse 4. And it's a sign that we still adhere to today. And he was given two tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, and said, go, here is what takes place after you've been in my presence. What visible effects are for you following a Sunday? I'm not going to give anybody two tablets of stone today for the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to send anybody home with that. But is there anything visible that happens when we are in God's presence? Here's a good thought. Are you engaged in a Sunday school class? Are you chatting over lunch about what you've learned in the sermon or what you've learned in Sunday school? One of the things that we try to do in the Selfridge home, we don't do it every Sunday, but we do it a lot of Sundays. What did you learn in Sunday school? And we talk about it. Why? Because we've been in God's presence. And so let's talk about that. Let's discuss that instead of just leaving from here and saying, well, that was nice. That was neat. How did God impact? This point says this. If God's presence is not with us, what do we have? And going back to verse 14, if God's presence is not with us, there is no rest. Third thing I want you to see is God granted Moses' pleasures. Here's what he said. Please show me your glory. I had a professor in college that had a message about showing God showing us his glory. Does God grant all of our pleasures? No. And it's actually a theological challenge for all of us. If God doesn't answer the prayer, then what do we do with this? God grants this pleasure, and why not this other one? But I thought of, he's asking God, please show me your glory. Have you seen God's glory in recent days? What a thought that is, as we are in the mundane of life and I'm sitting and driving and doing a bunch of different things that I do. Am I asking for God's glory? He was in his presence. I wonder whose presence you've been in, earthly speaking, that's been somebody pretty particular and important. Have any of you ever been, not on TV, you can't say on TV, but have any of you ever been in the presence of a president, like within like 20 feet of him? Have any of you ever been in that close of the president of like 20 feet? That's pretty incredible. Anybody ever been by the Queen of England? Anybody ever been the Queen? Anybody been by anybody famous before? Give me a name or two of somebody you've been by that's famous, like within 20 feet of them, or you've shaken their hand. Who? B.B. King.
Red Skelton.
Red Skelton. Chris O'Donnell. Robert Duvall. Kevin Bacon. Elvis Presley. Did you sing with him, Ray? You sang along with him, you better believe it. Won't you think about this for a moment? If you ever have an engagement with somebody important or famous, man, you get worked up inside. You're nervous, and then when I get up to them, what am I going to say? And sometimes you have something that you're going to say so eloquently, and then they get up to you, and you're like, and they just look at you and say, "Thank you, sir." Or you blubber about something and then you think, "Oh, what did I just say?" You worried, you sweated, you grew anxious, your tongue was tied. You nowadays would do this. "Hold on, can I get a selfie with you?" A few years back, I was privileged to lead the funeral of Margaret Muntrock. Daughter Linda is in our service today. Some of you remember Margaret Muntrock. Her family was involved, Margaret's family, with Mount Rushmore. And I believe it was Margaret and her dad with Guts and Borglum. Was that correct? So at the funeral, there was a picture of Margaret and her father with Guts and Borglum. Actually, at the visitation, there were a couple of Mount Rushmore people. And then at the funeral, the burial, there were several more that laid her body to rest at the Keystone Cemetery in Keystone, South Dakota. The presence of somebody famous. Wouldn't it be great if each Sunday, not that you could do this, you could take a selfie with God because you knew his presence was here? Number four, could we see God's glory in his presence? Could we see God's glory in his presence? I definitely believe we can't see God's glory outside of his presence. However, isn't it God's presence everywhere? And so couldn't we see his glory? God tells Moses, "You can't see all of me because that is too much. Pretty much you would die, but I'll let you see part of me." Maybe this is a concept that you don't wrestle through very much, but isn't it amazing? God gave you life, and he gave you life to live, and he wants to dwell in you. And when he dwells within you, you might be able to see his glory. When I think of glorious, I think of that bride coming down the aisle, that day that she prepares and anticipates. The dress is perfect. The hair is spent way too much time on, in my opinion. The nails are done so perfectly. And the radiance, though, of the bride as she comes down the aisle, there's just a radiance about her. Man, the most beautiful you've ever been is on your wedding day, if you ever had that opportunity to be married. Many a groom gets pretty nervous standing down here, waiting, 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 and the aisle seems ever so long. The Bible uses the wedding ceremony to describe the relationship of the church to Christ. And someday Christ is coming back, and we long to be the bride of Christ, to be radiant and pure and ready for his return. So when we get in his presence on that day, we will be ready. Being in the presence of someone great is pretty awesome. There are some of us that aren't so famous. But when we get in their presence, our demeanors our hopes, our fears, our concerns, all of that are wrapped into that presence. I think of this. I think of the parent. Some of you have been able to be parents, and you've had a little kid running around, and they're all concerned about having peanut butter and jelly on their shirt. And you think, really, that's an issue? Or they have some greater concern, and as the kids get a little older, the concerns get greater. But in those little time, in those moments when they're little, they just can sit up in your lap and sit in your presence. And guess what? Life just gets better. Sometimes, being in the presence of someone, that person has a lot of wrinkles. That person has wrinkles on their hands or their faces. They have wrinkly arms. Maybe your grandma or grandpa. Maybe you just remember being in the presence of grandma and grandpa. And just knowing that everything was right because you were in the presence of grandma or grandpa. Sometimes being in the presence of a spouse or a close friend speaks volumes. Have you ever received a hug from that special friend or a spouse or a family member, and you just know that their presence means so much to you? One of the desires of our church is that we want to sense God's presence. Oh, the glory of God's presence. There's something about man's presence. We were made to live together and be in community, but there's something about being in God's presence. Now, some of us are scared to be in God's presence because of maybe what we've done or how we view things, but if you truly have a relationship with Christ, isn't being in His presence the best? Why in the world do people go to church? Why do they go to church? This is my belief. They go to church to be in the presence of Almighty God. Thus, we pray as a church to sense His presence, that we're not just merely getting by, but striving to know God. Have you asked to see God's glory in recent days? I confess to you that I have not asked to see of His glory enough. What can happen if we ask to see of God's glory? God, show me Your glory today. Show me Your glory on Tuesday, on Wednesday. If we ask it, watch out, it may hook you. It may grab you in such a way that it will change your life. It may burden you with a passion that is outstanding. And let me remind you of what John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. May we pray each morning, Lord, show me Your glory. Can you find glory at school? Can you find glory at home? Can you find glory at your office? Can you find glory at the restaurant or the gas station or the ballet class or the hospital or beside the road or even in church? Yes, praise be to God. God's glory is here. Look for His glory. It is here. May you sense God's presence today. May you know that this is a building that has four walls, or however many walls it has a roof. It's a building that's been set aside to praise God. May you, each time you walk through those doors, may you know God's presence is here. Pray for it. Ask for it. Believe in it. Don't just go through the teen. And then may you be reminded that God's presence goes with you. Each time we gather, I pray that you sense God's presence. Sometimes that provides great encouragement to you. Sometimes that provides convicting power to you. Sometimes that comes in just a song, a word of a song. Sometimes that comes from a person who comes up alongside of you and says, "How are you?" May every time we meet, may we sense God's presence. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for you. God, I pray over each person that's here today. They have come on Sunday to worship You and to sense Your presence. And so now, God, as Your saints have gathered, as they have come into this place, and sensed your presence, I pray that they would go knowing that your presence will go with them, just like your presence went with Moses on the mountain, just like your presence have been with many people. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray, thank you for your presence here today. I pray each and every Sunday we would sense your presence, and as people coming through the doors, they would just be, wow, there's something about this. And we'd be like, yeah, because God's here. We pray for that. And I pray over each person that no matter where they go, to the dark corner of the world, wherever they are at, that your presence would be felt right there in their midst. God, I pray for somebody here who's been wrestling through your presence. They haven't felt your presence in recent days. It's been pretty blah. It's been like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. God, I pray this week, and even today, you would remind them that your presence is right there. And they would rest in your presence. God, I pray for that individual who goes into a dark place this week. I pray that you would remind them that your presence is greater and your light is greater even in that darkness. Thank you, Lord, that we can sense your presence. I pray that we would do it all this week. May we sense your presence. We love you and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.